Daryl Mackey, he's a outspoken, devout Christian from north of Toronto who's been advocating against the lockdowns, swears that he heard the voice of God, and I believe him, about why it was necessary to not live by lies. And one thing that he said in the last half of the hour there was, even at the beginning, we're talking way before any of the narrative about the vaccination, he said on his protest sign, "No forced vaccinations." That's pretty cool. Daryl, I know you got to leave in probably about 10 minutes. You just let me know when you've got to leave. But now, what made you put on the sign way before it was even a topic of conversation? What made you put on the sign, "No forced vaccinations," like a year and a half ago?
Yeah, and that's something I don't know for sure. I just knew it was coming here. And it's one of those things where it's like, are we conspiracy theorists? But, it's not a conspiracy. And it's like the news is coming at us so fast, and the changes to our society are coming at us so fast that, a month or two ago, or even a couple days ago or a week ago, something that you say, "Hey, this is coming down the pike," it's already passed and the whole society's moved on. Why are you still talking about that? It's always been this way, right?
Yeah.
It's like we're living in, 1984, Brave New World, Book of Revelation, all mixed together, right? We've always been at war with Eurasia. We've always been at war with COVID or critical race theory or whatever. That's the way it feels. So I don't know for sure why I thought to write that, but it's obviously here now, and it is in my own personal face. My job put the mandate out, so I have to make my decision coming up soon, and it is the biggest issue of the election time that we have in our country right now. In the next 30 days, we're having an election, and it's the issue that's at the forefront of my mind. And I've actually taken the next step. What else can I do in this time? I've got together with my people. I've stood against these lockdowns. I've tried to rally the church together, and now I've taken the step of running for the election for my riding of Oshawa with the Party of Canada.
Yeah.
And I'm doing everything I can think of within my power, and it's like we talked about at the beginning of the interview. I could have easily spent the rest of my life working at my comfy job teaching, get my retirement sitting on the couch watching hockey. But you know what? I've done more than I ever thought I could, and it's like it feels like it's only just beginning. The challenges that we're facing. But I'm doing this because this party that I'm representing, for example, is the only party that is free to speak against lockdown and masking mandates, and especially forced vaccination. The censorship that's going on in our country is probably the biggest threat, on the list of the top 300 threats that we're facing immediately. But, every other party, every other church is censored for saying, even just like an alternative opinion of what's going on, right?
So, people don't realize just how strong media censorship is in Canada. Like, yes, we get American stuff, okay, but it's not part of the mainstream. I mean, the shows and things that we get, sure, you watch your average Canadian network television and they'll have a sitcom from, whatever stupid show it is. But the actual news that you get, unless you get a special package, unless you pay for an extra package, you don't get CNN, you don't get Fox. A lot of people have it. Very few people have Fox. Which Fox isn't perfect, but Fox is not CNN, let's put it that way. And so the narrative that we get from our news, I've only looked at legitimate Ontario-based news probably like 5 or 6 times during this thing, besides reading things to figure out, what rules are in place now, that sort of stuff. But I had to research something. I can't remember what it was, and I had to watch a clip from CTV, Canadian television. And it's for Americans, it's an equivalent of like NBC. It's just one of the major networks. And I was watching the news, and I was like, it made me ill in my stomach. I was watching this woman who is the anchor, and she was talking about, 14 people have got a case in some place, and experts are saying this. And there was just it was like watching, if you've ever watched The Twilight Zone or The Dead Zone or one of those shows, where they're in an alternate universe and you're the person who's sane, and the protagonist of the show is like looking around going, don't you guys all see how this is crazy, and everyone's kind of moving in slow motion? That's what television looks like here. And the messaging across all Canadian television networks, there's not a single Canadian television network, not a single one, that has a different narrative than the left-wing networks. There is no conservative media allowed in the fullest sense on TV. They don't allow it to happen through the regulation boards. So people don't understand just how crazy it is.
It's intense. The one good flip side to the cancel culture is that almost everyone I respect is getting canceled, like for YouTube. So it's almost like you know who to trust, or gives you street cred. I think, like, you're with LifeSite News, and you guys have been censored a few times, but gives you that street cred for the kind of conservative minded people, right? So you know you're legit, right?
Now let's tell me about some positive stuff, though, because I know that you guys, obviously, we all know there's negative things, but I like to give hope here, right? Jesus Christ conquered the grave. There's reasons to be happy. There's always reasons to be happy. So one of the coolest things, I was writing the article this morning. It's going to be out soon. I was actually, and actually you did so well in the video. We're going to use a couple of those video clips in there just to have your comments in the article. But I was writing the article, and I was writing the part about the children being overjoyed, hitting their first baseball of the year, you know? Could you tell us about how what you've done has morphed into the stuff where children get to play sports and have fun with each other?
Oh, it still gives me goosebumps when I hear you talking about it. You know, we were locked down so hard that many children hadn't seen other kids or afraid to leave their house for months, right? So we would have these family play dates in a different park each week. And at first, the kind of bylaw officers would come around and try to shout us out, but we wouldn't leave, and we'd hold our ground. We'd have barbecues, play games, and it kind of morphed into family baseball play day. And many of these kids were young. You got, you know, like 5-6-year-olds up to 12-year-olds, and somebody's never played baseball before. It's a, you know, it's a pretty difficult thing to, you know, hit the ball for the first time.
Yeah.
I have I'm a phys ed coach. I've played baseball my whole life, and I'm a patient guy, right? Because I'm a teacher. So, you know, some of these kids are first time holding a bat. You know, you kind of get behind them, you help them hold the bat, you pitch the ball, you pitch another one. I'm on like 30 or 40th hit, and then they hit the ball and they hear that crack of the bat and they run the wrong direction to third base. And you run and chase them, and you turn them around, and you pretend to fumble and pick up the ball, and you throw it past the first base, and then they run, and you yell, safe, and they turn around, and they had a crowd of, you know, 50 adults cheering them on, and this is like a you know, a 5-year-old or whatever, and it was like winning the World Series, right? Just like everything's going on in the world, the negativity, just that smile on their face, and the kind of like, even though they had no clue what was going on, right? It was amazing, right? It was just like that joy is worth every sacrifice, right? Worth the $880 tickets that they're handing out. You know, to see a kid smile and be comfortable and having fun and playing with their friends is kind of the best feeling, you know, that I can imagine, right?
And it makes the kids healthy. Like, this is the thing people don't realize. Yeah. Okay, listen, let's just take the coronavirus narrative at face value. I always say this. Fine. You want to play the stupid corona game? Let's take the narrative. If you're under 70, it's the flu. If you're under 50, it's like less than the flu. If you're under 30, it doesn't exist. So you should be healthy. You should be keeping your cortisol levels in check. You shouldn't be stressed out. You shouldn't be gaunt from sitting and staring at a screen. You shouldn't have a sunken, sullen face because you haven't had any vitamin D. You should be getting outside. You should have as much exercise as possible. And I can tell you what, I can attest to kids. Me and you, same idea. You know, when this first thing started, I was lucky. I was on this extra long Lenten exercise I was doing. So for 90 days leading up to Easter 2020, I was doing this thing where a group of guys got together. We took cold showers, not together, but we took cold showers and fasted and did exercise and prayed and whatever. And we also couldn't surf social media or read the news. It was part of it, kind of to check out of the world.
Yeah.
And I had no idea what the coronavirus was. And then all of a sudden I was teaching at the high school in town, and they said, you're going to be on March break for 3 weeks. And I thought, well, what's this about? I checked an article from one place from a guy that I trust. bang on from day one. He was saying, listen, these are the numbers. They're not telling us the truth. Here's the math, blah, blah, blah. And this guy's a lawyer. He's a great researcher. And